I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercised.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga. This time,
it's your time. Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around. It's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP.
Radio.
High five.
Hello, my fellow DDP Yoga warriors. What is going on? It is Wednesday night, 9 p.m. It means there is a brand new edition of DDP Radio at ddpradio.com waiting for you on your lovely homepage. But I hope you guys are having a great week. It's been a week here. I mean, I know you guys up in New York, I think Stacy got quite a bit of snow this week. Am I right?
You are correct, but Bill and I are in Florida,
oh.
So we missed it. We avoided it for once. Yeah, we're down under palm trees.
Oh,
sort
nice
of
timing. You're in Robert McLaren country, huh?
Yeah, we're in Robert McLaren territory.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And
yeah.
Speaking of Stacy and Robert, of course, the stars of the show are here. Stacy Morris from StacyMorris.com. Who is in the Sunshine State right now, living it up while all you suckers up north are buried and shoveling out your driveways. How are you, Stacy?
I'm good. I'm doing good. And we're enjoying Florida, and we're learning more and more about eating healthy and clean when we're on the road. So I can talk more about that later.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot to talk about tonight, and we've got a few subjects that we definitely want to hit. That are important to everyone here, and what better person to share the evening with than my favorite person on the entire planet, Robert McLaren. How are you, man?
I'm hanging in there. I just love spending time with you so much. I'm just touched by that intro.
Yeah, well, I was filling Robert in and Stacy in before we came on the show that I just got, pretty sick all of a sudden. In the last hour and a half, I started feeling, miserable and, not to get too graphic, but I had to make a trip to the bathroom and I got a little sick. So I figured if this is my deathbed and this is it for me, I might as well make peace with my arch enemy before I hang it all up.
Well, I've got a good 20 years left, so you're on your own.
You're a trooper, right. Mike. Thanks for showing up.
Oh, no problem. We have a duty to our both of our listeners that we make it here every week.
Yeah.
No, but it's going to be a fun show tonight. We do. We have a lot to talk about, and we're emailing back and forth. We had some tentative guests this week, but that didn't pan out, and it looks like next week, am I correct, Robert, we're going to be having Dancing Stevie Richards on the show again?
Possibly. He's checking his schedule, but
okay.
I can confirm that both Christina Russell from the Performance Center and Hayden will be joining us as well.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so that's going to be a great show. And Christina Russell, we're excited to talk to her because a lot has changed in her world. You know her. She's the superstar celebrity trainer there at the DDP Yoga Performance Center, and she's just a rock star. You know, her and I started around the same time in our journeys, and I've seen her go from up and down and everywhere around, and she's seen all the best and worst of my journey. And, she's got a lot going on, a new little gap kid on the way. I always joke around with her and Ronnie Russell. Their family is like the ideal, Gap clothing catalog family. They just look like perfect and picture perfect. And of course, they're gonna do a service to the world by adding another member to the pretty people population down there at the Performance Center in Atlanta. And she's got a lot of stuff going on. She's got her family rebooted site, and it's gonna be a lot of fun, and I didn't know we had Hayden coming on. I'm really excited about that. I've known Hayden for a couple years now. He came down to the retreat in Mexico, and him and I bonded. And, you know, we share a great like of similar music interests. And he's just a great guy and super cool. And his wife is cool, too. She's pretty awesome. And they're one of the most fun couples that I deal with DDP Yoga. So it's going to be fun to have them on as well. But to get started here, we have a couple subjects we wanted to breach, kind of just take the conversation where it goes. But Stacey Morris had tagged me in an article today, and we decided we were going to talk about this. And it really is a great, topic to broach. And Stacey, why don't you give the gist of the article you posted on your Facebook today?
Sure. Well, this is kind of beside the point. I think the underlying reason that I got involved in this still exists. But, Robert, you probably know this. I took the bait, basically. There was something in the right-hand column of Facebook that led to a so-called news link about a woman who had saved a Happy Meal for 6 years, and it did not deteriorate one iota. And later, through other circumstances, I found out these little things on the side are just, they're literally hooks to get you to click. Some people said this is a phony story and whatever. But I think anyone who's got any experience with McDonald's, have we all found French fries in the back of our car that have fallen through the seat cracks that are in the state of rigor mortis, they're just, it's like they come with their own embalming fluid, perfectly preserved. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is I don't really consider this food. And I really I don't dwell on it, but I got literally hooked on it at age 4. And it set a domino effect up in my life that took me a long time to recover from. And I get, I just get really outraged when I hear anything about McDonald's still to this day. I just think they prey on people, and they're manipulative, and I don't think their intentions are good.
Yeah, I can't obviously verify that story is accurate, but I would not be surprised if it is, because I believe that we had someone on this show before who had done the same thing with, I believe, like a McDonald's hamburger or a cheeseburger, one of the two, and she kept them with her for like years at a time, and the only time she ever got rid of them was when the airport security would find them, and they would throw them away because they were so old.
I want you to set it up.
Robert and, hello, you guys there?
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought I heard a click, lost you. Robert and Stacy and I, not all the same age, but around the same generation of age-wise. And I don't know anybody in our age range, any friend of mine whatsoever, that McDonald's wasn't a staple of your childhood. I mean, growing up, both my parents worked. My mom and dad were busy. And sometimes, not for a lack of giving a damn, but sometimes we just go to McDonald's. And when we go to McDonald's because it was easy for them, it was viewed as a treat for us. So early on, we had a McDonald's as a reward system for us, as a place of, comfort and happiness. And, I always say nowadays, because, the radio station I last worked with up in New Hampshire, we had a McDonald's right next door, and I'd go over there for lunch every single day. And I used to make a joke with my buddy that McDonald's was delicious till the last bite. And then after the last bite, you literally feel like you're going to die, and you hate yourself. Because it wasn't so much like a punishment for myself. I literally felt miserable. Like, it was delicious going down, and after that, I felt horrible. It can't be good for you. There's pretty much across the board, people who eat McDonald's within an hour's regret their decision.
I always did,
but I had all the weight and the emotional eating tied into it. What was it like for you, Robert? I mean, what was your experience with it?
Well, it's funny because I remember I did the same thing that Michael did, growing up with it and all that kind of stuff. So it was like normal for me. And several years ago, I started delivering, this was probably going back a decade, but I used to deliver bread. So when I was always at a convenience store, so whenever I'd want something to eat, I'd get it at the convenience store, which was usually some kind of sandwich and then some milk. And I did that for like 6 months, and mainly because I was so busy that I never went to McDonald's or anywhere around those kind of things. So when I left that job on the way home, I was like, I'm going to treat myself and get some McDonald's. I haven't had any in 6 months, and it was the most disgusting meal I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah, once you get that out of your diet, it's just you lose your I don't even know what your resistance to it.
Yeah, and that is exactly why I was so outraged, because you noticed, and they still do this, but they did it when I was a child. They target children, and that is the exact reason, because they want to get your palate groomed to expect McDonald's and whatever goes with it. And there have been PBS stories and stories done abroad about how they hire engineers to engineer the food to taste a certain way, so you want to mm-hmm. eat more and more. Because I remember, I got started on it, and a woman on Facebook took issue with my point and saying, don't blame McDonald's. We all make choices. Well, not when you're 4 years old, And
no, that's a ridiculous, ridiculous response. McDonald's is providing the shit, so yes, they're responsible for the shit.
Yeah, and they do. I am telling you, if you think about it, they target kids in a very similar way that pedophiles target kids, with the toys and the clowns and the playgrounds. They make themselves attractive and seductive.
Well, that's very creepy now that you put it that way.
Yeah, it is very creepy. And I'm just, my heart just aches. I know there are so many kids out there who are hooked, and you can't blame, the parents. Sometimes my mother didn't know any better. This was back before all the evidence came into light. Back in the 70s, it was just, oh, what a cool place to eat. What a fun place to eat.
Yeah.
Nobody knew any better.
You look at it from
Chef Bill, he just wanted to make one quick point about the advertising, because he's heard me talk about it. He's got his own childhood experiences with it. But just real quick, Bill.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bill.
The thing I wanted to say was I was reading, Stacy was doing her thing, I was doing my thing today. But, I was reading the comments from this woman. And, you guys know that I've been to the culinary and into cooking school. And the biggest joke was, we all need a Ronald McDonald so our restaurant will do as well as what they've done. It's subliminal from the time the kid can watch TV. And anyone that thinks that's not truth is only fooling themselves. They're as bad as the Attorney General took cigarette commercials off, because at least they could prove that cigarettes lead directly.
Yeah, absolutely. And
what's contributing to is the obesity of our kids.
Yeah, and it really is. It's as I'm sure I was just talking to Stacy about, Bill, from a psychological aspect, they hook you on early. Your parents take you to McDonald's for a treat. What do you get there? You get a toy or you get a balloon. And
exactly.
So obviously you've got these childhood, memories tied to McDonald's, so it's going to paint like a picture of the ideal time in your life, and it's always something you go back to. And especially nowadays, I've been reading articles, and despite what anyone, says, Americans are, or people in the world are more health conscious now. They've kind of, pulled back the curtain a little bit about what's going on. So it's more crucial than ever for them to hook those kids in young, because it's like a heroin addict. You give them a little bit at first, and then you give them a little bit, and eventually they can't do without it. And psychologically, I know for me, when I get stressed, I'm a stress eater, and my first instinct, I do way better at it now, was to get a greasy cheeseburger or fries, because it's tied to a time in your life where, that's a fond, nostalgic memory, and almost like mm-hmm. a comfort zone, like a warm blanket.
And Yeah, and it's also a great sedative because it's got all this fat and sodium, and it's a little kick for your taste buds, and then you're kind of sedated and not as stressed, you know? That's mm-hmm. why it's so appealing over and over again. Even though you don't necessarily feel good physically, there is some type of payoff.
Yeah, and then of course you have to figure in the price as well, because it is so affordable. It's so easy to get. I mean, it's the cheapest meal you can get.
Even more so now. I mean, I think they still have the dollar menu. I mean, or close to it. I mean,
yeah.
Who can't afford that?
Yeah, and there's a lot of parents out there who are on a short income and they want to do something nice for their kids, and that's an easy get.
It is. I just wanted to get a dialogue going, and I think a lot of people did respond. I tagged a bunch of people. And I think most people in our community are pretty much, you know, they shy away from that. But I wanted to really put it out there for parents, you know, just as a warning. It's really, you just got to really work hard to evade their aggressive marketing. And, I mean, I would avoid it like the plague if I had children. I know I'd be very frightened to have my kids get hooked on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the bottom line is that food is supposed to decay. It's supposed to, you know, it's supposed to go bad. It really makes me wonder what kind of what they have in those that's going to make them last like that.
I know. Did you guys see the documentary Supersize Me?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a huge awakening for me, and that I saw that well before I found DDP Yoga. And it was a wake-up call because I was still very much attached to the whole drive-through lifestyle. But it made me really stop and think, you know, do I want to do this?
Yeah, and I mean, I can't live my life personally, like buying into like every conspiracy theory that comes around. And I think that like sometimes people buy into those ways so much that it just like ruins their life and they can't trust anybody or trust anything. And, you know, obviously there's things that go on in this world that, you know, aren't on the up and up, whether it's government or whatever. But I just can't live my life focusing on that because it would be a detriment to me. But I've got to believe that there's a larger agenda going on that is in conditioning us to be as unhealthy as we possibly can. You know the McDonald's, the slogan, and I'm just looking it up to get an exact number. 68 million people are served every single day at McDonald's. 68 million people. To put that in perspective, there's about 7 billion people in this world. So a large fraction of the percentage of the entire planet eats at McDonald's every single day. And it's almost like a mass poisoning, you know, just, you know, putting this stuff in our bodies that we know can't be good for us. We know they weren't good for us when we were younger. You know, that's why McDonald's was a treat for most of us. But now that we really know what's going on and what's really happening with these, you know, I can't in good conscience eat that. And I'm not judging any other parent, but if I was a parent, I couldn't in good conscience put that in my child's body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're Americans. A lot of us still love burgers. We still love French fries, you know, but there are other options out there. And I still eat burgers. I don't eat them as frequently as I once did, but I make sure it's a better quality meat. And I often, you know, usually I food combine, so I usually get it without French fries. Sometimes if I'm really in the mood, I'll get fries, but I always get it without a bun, without the sugary ketchup. And, it works for me. It doesn't have to be black and white, you know, you're either in or you're out. There are options, but know what you're eating and, ask questions of the person you're buying from or the entity. Now that people, I think corporations have to be more forthcoming. I think it's required now to put nutrition labels somewhere in that restaurant, even the fast food places.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah,
if you want to talk about a buzzkill,
legally what they have to do now. They need to have their nutrition facts available on hand. But I think we can all kind of agree that McDonald's is no good, and you probably don't want to eat that. And just a reminder, DDP Radio is brought to you by Burger King, the best burger in the world. Stay away from McDonald's. Burger King, your number one choice right here at ddpradio.com. Just kidding.
He might just got fired. I don't know.
I'm just kidding. But no, obviously you want to stay away from those fast food joints. And, you know, the case studies have proved that it's not good for you. You know, see documentaries on it. But, you know, that being said, we joked around a little bit. But America is becoming a more health-conscious, nation, and the world is becoming. As we get this information and education, we're kind of opening our eyes a little bit.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah.
And as we become more educated and more outraged, you know, and demanding, things do change. We were at Walmart about a month ago, and a supercenter, you know, getting groceries, and I was absolutely stunned, but in a very good way, to see an entire shelf full of hemp heart seeds, chia seeds, flax seeds. It was like, wow, this is Walmart now. I mean, and it wasn't like a tiny little section. It was a pretty sizable one. So, I mean, if you can get superfoods at Walmart, the world has changed.
Yeah, definitely. And the, that's one of the things that gets me, is that we are so far behind the times as compared to other countries out there, you know, because we still allow pharmaceutical companies to rule the world. We still allow GMOs into the marketplace. There's just so many things that we really have to catch up on.
Robert, yeah. You had mentioned, you brought up the fact earlier about the price point on the McDonald's and the dollar menus and stuff, mm-hmm. Which for a family with children, middle class family, money's tight. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do, and I don't get it. I don't get why. Obviously they're competing in the marketplace for quantity, which is why they put these foods there. But for a lot of families, it's easy to eat healthy can eat real foods for a decent price. But you got to admit, there's, unlike a lot of the gluten-free alternatives and the healthier versions, there is a little bit of a higher price point. And you got to really kind of look into it and kind of dig into it and realize the value in having to pay a couple dollars more for something. But it's enticing to a family, a working family who has kids and budgets and finances to deal with. And I think that's how a lot of people kind of fall into that trap as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I definitely agree with that.
And we've had a guest on, and we should have her back because I think it's been at least a year, Jody Bernier, I believe, if I'm saying it right. You remember she came on and she did pretty much a whole show. She's got several kids, forgot how many. Sorry, Jody, but she does not do the fast food thing. She, it's a chore because she and her husband work full time, but they cook, they have a certain budget, and they, they've realized through this discipline that they're saving a lot of money doing drive through.
Yeah, I remember that show.
It does take it takes time. Yeah, and I think we should have her back because she was very inspiring for someone who has an extremely busy life and is raising children. But she said, I cook at home, and it not only is healthier, but it saves us money in the long run.
Katie and I will cook at home, pretty much most nights. We usually go out for a date night together on Friday nights or Saturday. But there is a value for people on the go, and people, these days in general, everyone in the country, everyone in the world is working more hours for less compensation. And it's just, it's a lifestyle and a time that we got to multitask. And, you know, especially if you have a family. I don't have a family and I'm stressed out how busy I am. I can't imagine how some of these people are dealing with this. And the drive-through option is on paper, you know, great. It's fantastic. I can grab something, not even have to get out of my car, get my kids fed and get home. But I'm unfortunately, there isn't a market. I think there's got to be a market for this, which I'm telling you, Stacy and Chef Billy, that's a $1 billion idea to make yourselves a healthy little, like, on-the-go restaurant, which kind of, you know, that's what kind of makes me upset that Chipotle is going through all these kinds of stuff like now, because that was my option when I was on the go and needed something quick. But there isn't really a national company that caters to that kind of family on the go. And to be honest, I couldn't relate with some of the things that people go through like that. But it's got to be hard, you know, crunching, you know, time is precious. There's not much out there. You want to eat healthy and also, you know, be, you know, quick and save time.
Well, Mike, there actually it is starting to evolve. We have one in the Capital District area, and the name is going to escape me, but it's Panda something, and it's Asian, and it's drive-thru.
Panda Express,
and I have to tell you, quite frankly, it's probably a little bit on the salty side, but the food is not bad, and you can get, you know, you can get basics, like, you know, you can get a soup, you can get noodles, and a couple of entrees.
Oh,
gluten-free also, and it's mm-hmm. got to be, you know, it's got to be much better, you know, than anything like, you know, McDonald's or this or that. Granted, it's probably more money. But, you know, I have seen a few of these, and there's someone else doing it, starting to do it, and I can't think of who it is. But the only other thing I want to mention is when my kids were little, they were never super McDonald's cravers. Because I came from a town that was the quality burger capital of the world in Rochester, New York, with places like Tom Walls and Don's Original. I'm not saying the burger is the best thing for you to eat, but, you know, the next morning, if you left a Don's Original burger out, you'd throw it out. It wasn't going to last for 6 years. You know, with quality meat, quality products. And, you know, my parents' take on it, my father was kind of gruff. He was blatantly with McDonald's. He didn't care if I liked the clown or wanted the toy. He's like, I'm not going to eat that garbage. And they just never took us there. And I kind of, you know, I blame a lot of the parents too. Granted, it's advertising, but, you know, taking your kid to McDonald's to pacify him, in my opinion, is the easy way out. It's like anything else when you discipline a child. No. And it's that simple. So I guess I was lucky because I was a little, in my town, I was sheltered from it because my dad just wouldn't eat it.
You know, Dallas, he said this to me several times in conversations with him. And, you know, Katie, my girl Katie, she works, she's a dental hygienist, and she works under a dentist. And her dentist doesn't struggle financially, obviously. She's got a healthy practice. And her child, she has two children. And for Christmas every year, they're younger. So, you know, she gets them a couple of, like, cheap little toys, small toys. And she conditions them at a young age that you don't need to have a huge, like, Christmas to kind of you know, to make you happy, and they're happy with what they have. But if you think about it, it's that young age where you kind of condition these kids. And Dallas has pointed this out many times. You know, the first birthday, you always throw a party for the kid, but he doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know what's going on. The second year, it's for the parents too. And then the third year, you know, you've got people standing there with balloons, giving you presents, showing you all this attention, and serving you cake. So right from the age of like 3 years old, you're conditioned to see this disgusting, ridiculously indulgent cake. You see that, and it automatically brings up these feelings of happiness and comfort and people loving on me and presents. It's the same kind of thing, you know, the way it's conditioned, you know, for McDonald's and these bad foods. I mean, you know, growing up, I didn't know, obviously, what we know now. And my mom, you know, did better with me than I ever could. But, you know, that was times, you know, for school snacks. We had the Dunkaroos and cookies, and we had zebra cakes, and that's what we went to school with, and that's what we put in our body on a daily basis. And knowing what we know about sugar and carbs now, they got us hooked at an early, early age to crave that and almost, you know, begin our addiction at, like, the single digits.
I would agree with you.
Yeah, to this day, and I'm, you know, you guys know I'm really pretty much off sugar, but when I see a birthday cake, no matter how disgusting I know the ingredients are, I get this little flutter in my heart, you know, like, oh, birthday, you know, and it ties in with family memories and being loved and appreciated. So food and how it's presented is very powerful. And I think just being aware of that can help untangle the cords of habit and automatic, like I've automatically got to eat this because my buttons are pushed. You know, it takes time, but I'm living proof. This woman on Facebook said, well, everyone, you know, has to make their own choices, and that's part of growing up. And that's true, but if you're really addicted, and then I was an emotional eater and I had emotions and pain and coping mechanisms tied in with my eating, it was not as simple as a choice.
No, that's just copying out of the conversation, really. I mean, because it's just, you know, I don't want to, I'll just avoid this topic.
It caught me off guard, but, you know, everyone's got their own view on it, but I told her I disagreed with her, and I told her why. But, yeah, go ahead, Mike.
And look at the way we attach foods to moments in our lives. The holidays is always attached to. We attach birthday cake to our birthday, and, of course, like stuff like turkey for Thanksgiving, but also pie. We have all these things. I mean, honestly, I don't like cake. I really am not a fan of cake. I've never been a fan of cake. It's too sweet for me. Every single time I go to a birthday party, I'm so conditioned that even though I'm not a big fan and knowing how bad it is for me, I will cut a huge slice and I'll eat it because that's what you do when you go to a birthday party. This Super Bowl we had a couple days ago, you know, honestly, if we wanted to have something for the Super Bowl, I could make some wings or something, some chicken wings, have them not be completely ridiculous and healthy. But we're so conditioned that when the Super Bowl is on, we're going to have an array of different, you know, ridiculous, indulgent foods at our disposal. We do. We were conditioned our entire lives to associate food with these events and certain events that are tied to food. And it's got to be some kind of, you know, marketing thing back in the 40s and 50s. It's like, you know, Duncan Hines is like, let's start making cakes for people's birthdays. It's got to come from somewhere. And I have a hard time believing that there wasn't an agenda by some kind of food companies to start making ties to certain life events.
Yeah, this episode of Conspiracy Theory with Michael Mullins.
I know.
It's brought to you by
But for real, you know, every Thanksgiving, how much do you think they sell in turkeys? And there's, like, you know, Valentine's Day chocolate. You know, chocolate has to do with loving my significant other, but every Valentine's Day, guys are conditioned to give their girls chocolate. And, you know, every Valentine's Day, I'm sure Nestle or you know, whatever is making a fortune doing this. But we do. We get so conditioned into the routine of things. Every Thanksgiving I have this. Every Christmas I have this. Valentine's Day this. Super Bowl. Birthdays. And it's a cycle that we don't even realize why we do what we do. We just know that we've always done it.
Yeah, it's like the engagement ring thing, where how in the 30s they made that a thing where you had to get a diamond ring for engagement rings. And before that, it could have been a ruby, it could have been anything. And, you know, it wasn't even a thing that you had to do.
And this is where the critical process of self-inquiry comes in. It all starts to shift when you ask yourself, does that feel right to me? Is this what I want to do? Or am I blindly doing it? You know,
you're supposed to.
Yeah, they count on us not making that little step of self-inquiry. And that's where it all begins to change. I love cake. I always will, no matter how bad it is for me. I don't eat it. You know, I don't eat the commercial cakes. But I could easily, you know, just dive into one. And I mean like swan dive. But the thing is, I decided I know I feel better not eating that stuff. So I've made peace with it. And I don't dwell on it. I don't dwell on, oh, I'm so mad that I can't eat a piece of bakery cake. You know, I just say, well, you know what, I'm getting so much else in return from not eating it. And I have other options. I don't deprive myself. But the key for me in making turnarounds in my eating is deciding what I want and why, and then not dwelling on the stuff I miss, because that just keeps me, you know, mentally trapped.
Yeah, and, you know, as we talked about earlier, you know, I always said McDonald's good as the last bite, and you feel sick after that. And that's with a lot of meals and stuff like that. And I would go into eating that meal or eating that cake or whatever, knowing to myself and thinking to myself, ugh, I'm going to be terrible when I'm done with this. And I still went and did it. It was one of those things that if you put it on paper, it's like, you know, you hit your hand with a hammer, it's going to hurt. Well, don't hit your head with a hammer. Well, yeah, that's a good idea. But still, for some reason, you feel the need to hit your hand with a hammer. It's one of those kind of like masochistic, you know, human instincts that we know we are going to feel like garbage, and we know we're going to eat it anyways. You know, like an addict or an alcoholic, you know that what you're doing is detrimental to you. And you know, a lot of addicts, after they've been on drugs for a long time, the fun of drugs have gone away, the enjoyment of drugs have gone away. They no longer get high, but it just becomes something you do, and you end up being sick afterwards, and you feel miserable, and you get nothing out of it. But it's just so ingrained in you that that's what you got to do to stay, you know, above board. And it's the same thing with those kind of foods. I know for a fact that if I have a giant piece of cake, I'm going to feel terrible. But you know what? If I wasn't where I am today, I would still have that giant piece of cake.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and your teeth are better off, too. And dental bills are probably much lower.
and Katie would definitely be on top of me for that. I tell you what, it's brutal being with a dental hygienist.
Oh, like, my God.
No, seriously.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
Mike, Jeff Bill, note to self, I just want to give you this little tidbit. Valentine's Day is coming up. Chocolate is actually considered an aphrodisiac, and dark chocolate, over 60% cacao, is a great antioxidant, and it's actually good for you. It's the milk chocolate that's no, I'm dead serious. It's the milk chocolate. So chocolate is associated with Valentine's Day because of, I'm going to make up a word, it's aphrodisiacness.
Ah.
So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's sounds good to me.
Is there a rule against not deflating your conspiracy theories on the show?
But you know, it's tough. Like, you know, and it does, you know, it is terrible with your teeth. And you know, like I said, with, you know, being with a dental hygienist, the second I smile, she doesn't look in my eyes. She's glared right in directly at my teeth. Like, whether she's telling me I have something stuck in them or hey, let me see your teeth. And it's one of those things that, you know, I joke about it, but you know, there's so many people in this world that have done such damage to not only their teeth but their body. Knowing full well that they're doing damage to it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and that doesn't always, I know from my own experience, that's not always enough to stop me, you know, but once you start to, when I started to feel better from eating better, then it was just, it became a little more automatic. I wanted to continue feeling better. And as you guys know, I started out slow. I didn't eliminate and change everything at once. Change a few things. Even if, like this Valentine's Day, if you make a simple change of get some dark quality chocolate or even milk chocolate, but make sure it's the kind that's not, you know, there's a lot of wax in many commercial chocolates, which is so disgusting to me when you think about it. But you can almost feel it, you know. Search out some real high quality, whether it's French, German, Swiss, some of the organic stuff. find some good stuff this Valentine's Day and enjoy that and enjoy it, you know, with awareness. Don't scarf it down into trance. Just say, you know, you're treating yourself, you're treating the ones you love, and start with that. I mean, it can be that simple.
Yeah, and people, you know, wondering right now, like, listening, they're like, what does this have to do with DDP Yoga? I turned into DDP Yoga Radio. Why am I getting a lecture about McDonald's? And really is the central core of everything we do here. Right. And on the show, you know, we don't want to give you a 60-minute infomercial on how awesome the DDP Yoga workouts are, but one of the most important things in my life that was brought to me by being associated with people like Dallas and Robert and Stacy and so many others is the knowledge that I gained, not only just in the exercises, but, you know, in health and fitness. And for me, before all of this, my answer to eating healthy was get a bunch of Smart Ones frozen Weight Watcher meals and have those breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And, you know, with the DDP Yoga program and the things associated on the app and in the recipe guides and all this stuff, you really learn to untrain yourself to how you think about healthy eating, because, you know, that's how we dieted, you know, when we were younger. You know, when our moms went on Weight Watchers or our moms went on Jenny Craig, what did they do? They had those frozen meals sent to them every week or whatever, so we were conditioned to think that's how you eat healthy. And DDP Yoga is more than just a workout. It's a lifestyle. It's a peace, state of mind. It's the way we eat. It's the way we work out. And it really is so important, like, I don't remember which one of you said it, Robert or Stacy, but to look inside of yourself and really kind of, you know, lose your familiarity, lose your expectations of what you believe, and look into things in yourself and question what you know and question what you've been told, and kind of do a little bit of self-exploration and kind of logically look at the problem. And that's what DDP Yoga has kind of given us, the knowledge to kind of rethink how we associate eating healthy.
Does that really,
yeah.
Mike, does that really sound like something I would say?
I don't remember which one of you said it.
That was definitely Stacy. Once you said look within yourself, I'm like, oh, it's Stacy, obviously.
But you probably thought it at least once in your life, right?
Yes, but it was very vulgar when I thought it. Yes.
Robert looked within himself, and all he saw was black.
But Mike, you're right. I mean, it sounds like this is unrelated stuff, but DDP calls it a lifestyle, and it's not that we're like fringe or anything, but you know the lifestyle does include kind of veering away from the norm, which is, you know, being a couch potato and eating whatever you want, whatever feels good. You get on the mat, you do a workout, you don't have to live at your mat. A workout a day is great. I mean,
yeah.
They're like 30, 40 minutes, depending on which one you do. And it's very important to be more aware of what you're eating for obvious reasons. We don't need to tell anybody out there, but you know, there are a lot of pitfalls, there are a lot of traps, there are a lot of habits that need to be overcome. And Mike, Robert, and I have all, you know, done lots of work on ourselves where these habits are concerned. It's doable. I don't think any one of the three of us expect perfection of ourselves.
No.
But just to keep giving it a go every day, you know.
Well, the thing is that if weight is any part of your journey as far as losing weight or gaining weight, then food has got to be at least 50% of the equation, because no matter how good the workout is, if you don't get your diet in line, it's not going to matter.
That is so true. That is so true, because, guys, I went to the gym for many years when I was 300 pounds. I thought if I just pump enough iron, and I was working it. I was doing like 50 minutes of cardio and then another hour of lifting. My weight didn't budge, you know?
Yeah.
So I was a 300-pound, you know, I had some muscles underneath the sheaths of fat, but the weight didn't really move till I changed the food.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you'll start
really
seeing
stuff. It really is the most important part of your journey, and You know, the funny thing is, and I get this quite a bit, people are like, oh, I don't really want to work out because I don't want to be like a bodybuilder type. I'm like, I don't think lifting weights every couple of weeks is going to make you a Hulk Hogan. But, some people just, they could go to the gym and have a great workout and great for them. And then they'll come home and just destroy what they had just done at the gym. And, all of us know that this game is 90% mental. You know, we talk about life at 90%. You know, I truly believe that this is 90% mental because I wasn't prepared to do anything. I wasn't prepared to make any changes in my life, no matter how bad I wanted them, no matter how much I needed them, until I got my head straight. And that was the first thing I did when I got started, was get my head straight, because, you're your own worst enemy in these situations. I was the ultimate self-sabotager. I know Stacey has had weight issues too, and that's what we do as overweight, obese people, is we sabotage ourselves in the way we think. And my biggest thing is I could rationalize anything to myself. I could rationalize anything. If I know for a fact that I couldn't eat that and I'd be miserable, my mind would have like a negotiation within itself. Like it's almost like a psychotic episode, schizophrenic episode. But I would say I'm not going to have that, and then my mind would answer and try to convince myself that I could. And
if I can do this, or maybe I can do some extra steps, or
yeah. It is. It's such a mental game, and the mental mind games you play when you have that food addiction is scary because you rationalize things to yourself that just isn't good for you, and it's a scary place to be.
Yeah, it's very easy to do.
It is. It is, and I still do it sometimes. I find myself playing that game, but now I know I'm doing it, and I'm like, oh, okay, you're doing it, and I just realize that there's got to be some emotional reason that I'm wanting that food or whether it's a type of food or more of it. And it gives me an opportunity to step back, see what's going on, take some breaths, and just look at it objectively without any kind of judgment. Because what is that? That doesn't do any good anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Robert.
No, go right ahead.
Oh, sorry, man. I was going to say, one of the best toolboxes you can have in your journey is the ability of self-awareness. I know Katie could, get annoyed at me for something today, and I could, rationalize and tell her, oh, I didn't do this, or lie to her and say, oh, I didn't do that, I didn't mean to do that, knowing full well that I screwed up, and I could probably pull it off and fool her and think that I didn't mean to eat the last, bit of food of hers in the fridge or whatever. But you can't lie to yourself, and we do so much. We try to avoid kind of looking within ourselves and avoid seeing the truth in ourselves, knowing we're full well we are lying to ourselves, but still kind of wanting to be able to fool ourselves. And self-awareness is something that's really rare in some people, which you'd think would be a little bit more common sense, but so many times we try to blind ourselves to the problems in our lives. And, Stacey, you had mentioned just a few minutes ago that, you still have that kind of mental mind game with yourself, but you're able to catch yourself. So many times we see things in ourselves that we don't like, and it makes us uncomfortable and it hurts us. So our job is to distract ourselves from our issues.
Yeah, it's a survival skill, I guess. I mean, I relied on that for many years, but it, ultimately, I realized it wasn't really helping me out. I mean, I'm talking, the mind is so powerful. And there were years when I really needed to deny my size. And I, like an anorexic, I thought, hey, I don't really have much of a weight problem. And then I would accidentally see a photo of myself or a glimpse of myself in the mirror and realize, wow, there is a huge disconnect here between what is reality and what I'm telling myself. And when I had to take those pictures in the beginning, when I started the DDP yoga journey, that was very, very difficult to look at because what it told me was I was being really dishonest with myself. And it was just, all I needed to do was realize it and realize that it wasn't working any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I could begin to let go of it.
And it's not just the food, the fat thing, making you fat, making you overweight, making you obese. The quality of food can often be a lot of like a drug. And Stacey had mentioned it earlier, the sedative factors. I tell people today, and, you know, DDP yoga and changing my eating and everything saved my life, changed my life. I look so much better. I'm doing so much better. People probably find me more, you know, aesthetically pleasing, you know, today than I was. Still far from good looking, but you know what I mean. But I tell people this all the time. I said, if I didn't lose a single pound doing DDP yoga and eating healthy, if I didn't lose an ounce, it would still be worth it. Because when you really learn how to eat as a way to fuel your body, which food is, it's the intention of food, how it was intended, it makes you realize, and we talked about this last week, I never realized how drugged and how tired and how miserable I felt until I disconnected from all of that stuff. And if I didn't lose a pound on DDP yoga or clean eating or whatever, I would still do it because I'm a different person and I'm a healthier, happier, and I feel so good.
That's awesome. That's a strong endorsement.
Yeah, and you know what just came to mind? I mean, this is the flip side of the McDonald's picture. And certainly don't make too many big changes in the beginning, but if people out there listening wanting to change a few things, just add once or twice a day something that's really living, you know, like a fresh vegetable, a fresh juice. I'm on the road now, and we're away from home, and Jamba Juice used to be kind of junky and sugary. It's changed, and probably from consumer demand. I went in there last night, and I got a juice made of kale, ginger, and cucumber because I didn't want any fruit. If you can get some living, live, fresh food into your system once a day, even if it's one serving, it's a great place to start and you know, like really fuel yourself with something that's going to make you feel more alive.
It's going to be really important in the future, too. And I'm probably going to sound like an old man here. But, you know, growing up as a child, I was very active. I was, you know, outside. You went outside and played, and your parents like, don't come home until it's dark out. And we're coming from a generation now that has the world at their fingertips via smartphone, computers, iPads, video games, whatever. And it's leading to a lot of people to be inactive and kind of, like we talked about earlier, set the stages early in life that just to lounge around and be inactive. You know, in my neighborhood, I don't see kids outside. I know there's a lot of kids here, you know, but there's no one outside. And, you know, I find myself in getting in those traps too, just bored, clicking around on your phone. And Katie and I went to a walking trail down here in North Carolina. At the Museum of Art, they have this long walking trail that has all these sculptures and stuff lining the trail, and it actually can bring you through the entire state of North Carolina. And just going outside for a little bit and just not even having my phone on me and not having my iPad or screen near me, just going out and walking and being outside, it was so refreshing. And since then, I kind of realized the importance of disconnecting for a while, not only from just like a physical standpoint, but for a psychological standpoint. You know, everything coming at you, all the bad news, all the horrific news stories every night, you know, the injustices in the world constantly being thrown at your face will bring you into a negative situation. And I kind of wonder, you know, with these kids just constantly flipping through their phone and people just constantly connected, it's going to be a thing where if you're not going to be active, you really need to, you know, tighten up your eating, because we're a generation of people that sit on the couch and flip through their phone, and it's going to lead to a lot of health problems for a lot of people, not just the sitting, which is very, we talked about that, how bad that is, just the inactivity.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of which, it's completely off topic, but I wanted to bring it up. Did either one of you get on the Stevie Richards Live workout yesterday on the DVP Yoga app?
I did not.
Oh, but that's got to be great. Did you get to it, Robert?
Yeah. He did a boot camp style workout, and it's just as brutal as the name sounds. And it was just an amazing workout.
Oh, wow. I'll bet that made you feel like $1 million when you were through with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it clocked in just a little over an hour. So it was a really good.
Wow.
It definitely, it was one of those workouts that will test anybody. I did a lot of modifying.
Oh my gosh. I'll look out for that because I would love to do that.
I've been to a few of the live workouts, and it's hard for me because the daytime is really, really brutal because I end up staying up late to finish stuff up, and then the daytime's where I'm getting all my stuff done. So, I mean, if there was a late-night workout, that would be perfect for me because that's when I usually hit my workouts. But I definitely want to get to a Stevie Richards one, and that was one of my favorite possibilities for the app when that came live. We've all been with DDP Yoga for several years now, and Dallas, he's an amazing teacher, an amazing job. But you've kind of caught on to his ways, and you've been with him so long that you can almost predict his next move. And it, as amazing as he is, I've really enjoyed kind of getting different takes from other people on the program, whether it be Stevie, whether it be Christina Russell, and a lot of guys with Cats at the Gym are teaching it now. I know Dylan recently did. Another app workout. So, yeah, it's great having these fresh takes and different styles. People have different, ways of doing things, and especially if you're in the DDP Yoga Performance Center, take as many of these styles as you can, and you'll become a better teacher.
Definitely. And that's what's cool, like you said, and people coming from different backgrounds and things, bringing different things to the workout like Stevie does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's how you become good at anything, really. You can model yourself after somebody, but, in my life, whether it be radio or comedy or something, I look at the people who are the best in my business, whether it be, radio guys, and I take a little bit from each of them, and you take the greatness out of people. And with guys like Stevie Richards, who's a physical fitness freak, that guy's amazing. And then Dallas and having those two great minds, and then taking like the softer, like Christina style, and just making your own style out of it. And if you guys, I know we have a lot of people in the DDP Yoga certification program. And if you guys are in the certification program, you're not working out along to it. If you've already worked out or you can't work out or whatever, go back and watch those live workouts. Go back and study Stevie Richards and Dallas Page and Christina Russell. And it'll make you such a better instructor and student of the company that you have to become better at what you do. And it's so important for people who are in this line of work to absorb all of that. And we have a great, great resource via the DDP Yoga app of all these great teachers that you can look at and kind of make your own style off of. And if you just did the certification program, finished it and bolted, so you can probably do a good workout, but you're not going to be the best. In order to be the best, you have to kind of look at the people who are the best and aspire and achieve to be that good.
Yeah, and now between the app and the DVDs, the recipes that are on Team DDP Yoga and that people post on Facebook, there's just no way you can get bored with any of it. So many combinations.
Yes, absolutely. The app has changed the game, honestly, for the workout, for me and for so many other people. And you guys want to definitely, hook up into that and check that out. But other than that, I think we're about out of time. This hour just breezed by. But real quick, I kind of wanted to go into this for a second, just to things up. We talked about Stevie Richards and his workout and his DDP Yoga stuff. Stevie just recently started his own personal training kind of fitness business, and being one of the DDP Yoga guys, he's one of those guys that's very, very knowledgeable in health and fitness, and I wanted to give him a little plug. My boy Lenny Backen, I don't know if you guys know him, he posted a 4 weeks before and after program after training with Stevie for 4 weeks, and holy crap, just following Stevie's workout, and Lenny wasn't like a big guy, but he cut up like really, really good, and Steve is great at what he does, and he offers personal training, online coaching, and stuff like that. And he's one of us. He's a DDP Yoga guy. He gets it. He's been a DDP Yoga guy before he was working for DDP Yoga. It's not like he got a gig and decided to take it on. So Stevie Richards Online is his website. And you guys want to check that out. You really do, because he's a great guy and a great inspiration and physical fitness monster.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that goes that pairs really well with DDP yoga.
Absolutely, and that's one of the great things, too, is, you know, the DDP yoga workout is great on its own, but it can be an accompaniment to something like that, too, and offers us a great side-by-side kind of program.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think that's it for us. We're out of time. Breeze by, like I said. Stacy, do you have any appearances or anything you got going on?
I have some, not until April. So
next
week, or, you know, I'll give you a little list. I'm taking a little spring break right now, early spring break. And then we'll be back into it.
Awesome. Well, we'll have to keep us posted on that. And, Robert, I'm not even asked what you've got going on, because you've got everything going on at all times. You're insane.
It's too long of a list.
Mike, just, you know, StacyMorris.com. I'm always for new ideas, and there's tons of archives on there. So check that out. And Chef Bill is on Twitter at ChefBill5.
Okay, make sure you get that in there.
And, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you can find Robert McLaren et al. Over at ChippendaleSexyRobert.com. Go and check him out. He's got some nice pictures and does all the dances.
Oh, you've been moonlighting again, Robert.
Yeah, and it's kind of disturbing that Mike's checked out my pictures, but yeah.
Checked him out. I've got him framed, man.
My screensaver.
Yeah. And, you know, on the other end, you can find me over at the Fat Guy Chippendale site called tippinscales.com.
Oh, but you've got your great blog, Mike at 90%.
Yes, absolutely. So,
check that out.
I appreciate
it. Very inspiring.
Oh, thank you. That was a fun show, and I thank you guys for hopping on and for the conversation.
Yes.
I hope everyone's a little bit inspired to just have, you know, try some better food, you know? Don't make it so serious. Have fun with it.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Just shop smarter. That's all.
Yeah. And that's the key. You got to enjoy what you're doing, and you got to, you know, make it reasonable and work for your lifestyle. And, you know, that's what we preach here. You know, that's how we do things. That's what this program is based on. It's the cornerstone of what we do, enjoying being healthy and enjoying, you know, making a new lifestyle, but also enjoying your new lifestyle. And,
that's how we roll.
What's that?
Mm-hmm. I said, that's how we roll.
Yes, that's how
that
we roll.
That is how we roll.
All right. Well, thank you guys
so
much.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you.
Yes. You too.
You as well, Stacy. And until next week, for Stacy Morris, for Robert McLaren, for Diamond Dallas Page, and all of the DDP Yoga universe, my name is Mike Mullins. DDP Radio is live. Wednesday nights goes live 9 p.m. Eastern at ddpradio.com. And until then, never, ever give up. See you guys.
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Into the diamond cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work and, most importantly,
own your life.
This has been a presentation of DDP Yoga and Blog Talk Radio.